Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verses 1 to 21, and this is God's word. Therefore, as imitators of God, as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. And we thank God for the public reading of his word. A wake-up call. Maybe some of you need that just now as the sermon begins. It's time to stay awake, waking up. Maybe in the morning time, you don't need an alarm clock. Your body just knows it's time to get up, and you just get up at the same time every morning. For others, you will need lots of alarm clocks, maybe set on your phone. Lots of different alarm clocks. You hit the snooze, go on to the next alarm, until finally it's time to waken up. Well, here in Ephesians 5 and verse 14, we've got a wake-up call. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It is possible to be asleep in the light. But here's a wake-up call. Here's the alarm in Ephesians chapter 5 that we need to take heed to. We need to take seriously this wake-up call. And the wake-up call is simply this: walk in the light. Waken up. Walk in the light. As I mentioned to the boys and girls, light is an important theme in the Bible. First chapter of the Bible. First thing God created, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The last chapter of the Bible, in the new heaven and in the new earth, it says there will be no more need for lamp, light, the light from the lamp, or for the sun. Because in the new heaven and the new earth, God will be the light for his people. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, light is important. And as I read to the boys and girls, Jesus said those famous words in John 8 and verse 12. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians, and he often describes the Christian life as a walk. Walking. That's an unusual way to describe the Christian life, but that's how he does it. Walking. He begins the letter by reminding what Christ has done for them, and then he tells them this is how you should live in response. This is what we believe, and this is what we're to do. We're to walk in the light. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. You're to live your life in a manner worthy of your calling. If you call yourself a Christian, well, live up to that calling. In chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Don't live like the unbelievers. No, you're Christians, you're believers. You're to be different. You're not to live in darkness. You're to walk in the light. A Christian is to be different from a non-Christian as light is different from darkness. And then here we have in chapter 5 this wake-up call. Alexander the Great was a great warrior, and he came across a soldier in his army who was a coward. And he was called Alexander as well. And Alexander the Great said to the soldier, either renounce your cowardice or renounce your name. He didn't want anybody who was called Alexander to be a coward. No wonder he's called Alexander the Great. And the same is true in the Christian life. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, well, then you're to live like it. And so in this chapter, we have the call to walk in the light. But not just walk in the light, walk in love, verse 2, walk in light, verse 8, and walk in wisdom, verse 16. And it's the middle one that we'll spend most time looking at. First of all, walk in love. The distinctive characteristics of a Christian is love. If you're part of God's family, then you love God and you love one another. Two greatest commandments. A young child growing up learns to draw by tracing. Do you remember tracing paper? You follow the lines, just trace it out. You get a beautiful picture. And that's how this letter begins. Therefore, be imitators of God. Be like God. Imitate him. As dearly loved children. Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ have been adopted into God's family. That's what it says in chapter 1 and verse 5. We've been adopted. We've been born again. God is our Heavenly Father, and you need to know today that you're dearly, dearly loved. Be imitators of God as beloved, as dear loved children. God loves you so much. And if you're children of God, if you're able to call God your Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, well then we're to resemble God. We're to mimic God. We're to reflect God, and God is love, and so his children are to love. Walk in love. Why bother? Why bother? Why not just look after number one? Forget about everybody else. Well, the foundation for the chapter is verse 2. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. Why should you love God? Because he first loved you. Why should you love one another? Because Christ has loved us. And he gave himself up for you. That's the foundation. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. We should love because Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Well, what does it look like to walk in love? Well, it looks like the last two verses of chapter 4. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgive you. You want to know what love looks like? That's what it looks like. In the church of Jesus Christ, there shouldn't be slander. Don't be slandering one another. Don't have malice, don't have wrath, don't have anger. You should forgive one another as God and Christ forgive you. That's what it means to love one another. It's not empty words. This is practical. To walk in love means to be holy. Verses 3 and 4. Sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you. It shouldn't be mentioned. There shouldn't be sexual immorality and impurity among God's people. We're called to be holy. It shouldn't be named amongst you. Paul doesn't go into the details. He doesn't say, now, on Monday morning when you get into work and they're having this wee joking on what they've done over the weekend. He doesn't go into all the applications of this. We're to apply it ourselves. But he gives us the guidelines. No filthiness or foolish talk nor crude joking. They're out of place for believers. They shouldn't even be mentioned amongst God's people. And he also gives them a warning. He says, this is why God's wrath is coming on the children of disobedience. These very things. God's wrath is coming. Verse is 5. Be sure of this. Anyone who is sexually immoral and impure, they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God of Christ. They're not going to heaven. Make sure you know that. If you live like this, you're not going to heaven. Children of disobedience. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Lots of people profess to be Christians. Oh, I follow Christ. They live how they please. It doesn't bother them how they live. Oh, on Sunday they dress up well, put on a nice show. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in secret. Different story. Paul says, be sure of this. This is why God's wrath is coming. Is this a wake-up call for you to realize, am I messing about with sin here? Am I doing some of these things that Paul's mentioning? Coveting? Sexual immorality? Am I doing this and thinking I'm going to get away with it? It's going to be okay in the end. No, you need to wake up. Waking up. A Christian can't just live how they please. They need to walk in love. They need to be holy. But I want to encourage those who are struggling. At times we will fall into these sins. We will stumble. But a true Christian will never be down and out. Yeah, we will stumble. We will fail. But we'll get up again by God's strength. What Paul's speaking about here is those believers who are happy enough living in their sins and thinking they would get away with it. But if you're mournful over your sin, you realize, I want to stop this sin. I want rid of it. That's a good sign you're on the right track. And God in His grace will help you. We live in a culture that is soaked, that is covered in darkness. Many kinds of darkness in this world are found. Sin and want and sorrow. There's lots of kinds of darkness in this world. But so too for the Ephesians. They lived in a culture where it was just normal to have sexual immorality. It was different to be pure. They lived in a culture of greed. They came out of that culture. And Paul's warning to wake up. Don't be going back to that. You wake up. Walk in love. And then he says, walk in light. At this time of year, this is the first Sunday in 2018, we look to the future. What's the year going to hold for us? You say, I'm glad 27 things over. Good riddance. Goodbye. Let's see a new year, new opportunities. 2018. But we can't forget the past. Paul here reminds the Christians at Ephesus of their past. He says, you once were darkness. Verse 8. You once not were in darkness, you once were darkness. The darkness was in you. Before you're a Christian, if you're here today and you're not a believer, you are darkness. You're not just in darkness. The darkness is in you. You are a sinner by nature. You once were darkness. In chapter 2, he says you once were dead in your trespasses and sins. Not only were you in darkness within you, you once were dead in your trespasses and sins. What makes the difference? How can somebody who's dead become alive? How can somebody be in darkness get to see the light? Arise and shine. Wake up, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Christ shines into our hearts. That's what makes the difference. That's what wakens us up and turns us from darkness into light. I once was blind, but now I see. Jesus comes to give you life. He comes to take you out of darkness. This is the gospel message. This is the good news. Light has come into the world. Christ has come to give you life. And so Paul says to the Ephesians, you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, in Christ. You know, there's a lot of good moral people living upright lives, and they don't go near church. Good people live a decent life, but there's no light in them. They don't have the light of Christ. Only the light of Christ can take you out of darkness. And so he says, walk as children of light. What does it mean to walk in light? Well, three things Paul gives us. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. If you're a Christian and you walk in the light, it looks like this. You're a good person. You're good. You will seek not just the good of yourself, but good for others. Anything that's good. Right. Righteousness. Right living. You're living not to your own standards, but according to God's standards. Right living. Good. Righteousness. Goodness. Righteousness. Here's the one. Truth. A Christian who walks in the life will not put on a pretense. They'll own up to things. They'll be genuine. Yes, they will stumble and fall and fail. But they'll walk in the light. They'll be true. They'll be genuine. They're above board. They've nothing to hide. A Christian who's walking in the light, I've nothing to hide. This could be the crux for you today. This call to wake up, walk in the light. Is the fruit of light in your life? Are you known for being good, for being righteous, for being true? At high school and secondary school, sometimes you do an experiment where you pass white light out of a little box. You pass a beam of white light into a triangular prism of glass. And as you put that white light into the prism, it comes out on a spectrum. All the colors of the rainbow out of that one beam of light. Here's what Paul says is the fruit of light. Here's the spectrum. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And live as pleasing to the Lord. These three things, goodness, righteousness, and truth, they're like three legs of a milking stool. You know the old milking stool, three-legged stool? You need all three. If somebody's good, you don't want them to be a liar. You want them to be true. You need all three. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. We're to walk in the light, bearing this fruit of the light, and we have nothing to do with the works of darkness. Verse 11. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Take no part in them. Rather, expose them. I come from Tyrone in a wee place called Pomeroy. And beside Pomeroy is another little village called Donoughmore. And in Donoughmore, they built units, these shops, about 20 years ago. And they put on loads of floodlights. Lots and lots of floodlights all through the night. I thought, what a waste. Waste of money putting on that light. And if anybody comes to steal, you're just switching on the light for them, showing them where to go. But then I realized the light's on because that prevents people from stealing. Because people don't want the light. They're doing something sinful. They're doing something bad and they want to be under the cover of darkness. And the light exposes them. And Paul says, you walk in the light and so you expose people for who they are. As you live your life in the light, that will expose the unfruitful works around you. Walk in the light. Have nothing to do with unfruitful works of darkness. I could put on the screen for you lots of applications of this. How to stay away from fruitless deeds of darkness. But I won't do that. Paul doesn't do that. You need to apply this yourself. Paul says, have nothing to do with the works of darkness. I'll give you one application. There's an off switch on your remote control on your TV for a purpose. Sometimes you need to switch it off. Stuff you're ticking in, stuff you're looking at, stuff you're listening to, you know it's wrong. It's fruitless deeds of darkness. Switch it off. There's an off switch for a purpose. Paul calls us to walk in love, walk in light, and finally, walk in wisdom. Verse 16. Walk in wisdom. There's two ways you can live your life. As a wise person or as a fool. Two ways. And Paul says in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. How are you living your life? How are you going to live 2018? As somebody who is wise or somebody who is a fool? Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount gives us the illustration. The wise man built his house upon the rock. What did he mean in that? Jesus said, will those who hear my word and put it into practice, they're like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But Jesus says, people who hear my word and don't take heed, don't put it into practice, they're like a fool who built their house on the sand. That's the difference. A wise person listens to God's word and puts it into practice. A fool listens to God's word, doesn't do anything about it. You need to take heed to God's word. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. The old King James says, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Are you wasting your life? How many hours do you waste? How many days do you waste? How many years are you wasting? Walk in wisdom. Make the most of your opportunities. Do what's pleasing to God. Don't be getting drunk with wine. Rather, worship God. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Take heed today. Wake up call. This is a wake up call for us today. To walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. And finally, as I close, Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians. That wasn't his first name. His first name was Saul. His name was changed to Paul. Saul, he was named after King Saul, most likely. King Saul, two men, two Sauls in the Bible. One in the Old Testament, King Saul, and one in the New Testament, Saul converted on the road to Damascus. He had seen the light. Sometimes people say people who are Christians, they've seen the light. They're good living. And in one sense, that's true. We have seen the light. We need to be walking in life. We need to be good living. People are watching. Two Sauls in the Bible. King Saul ended his life by saying these words, "I've played the fool. I have played the fool." Is that you today? You're playing the fool. You're wasting your life. You're not walking in wisdom. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your opportunities. And the day may come and you're not able to hear the gospel. You're not able to come into this place. The day will come and you will die. And you will die in your sins if you don't believe in Christ. If you're not walking in the light. Judgment is coming. Don't play the fool. You know how Paul in the New Testament ended his life? He ended his life by saying these words, "I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith." Two ways to live and two ways to die. Make sure you're walking in the light as Christ is in the light. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you for your unchanging word. We thank you for this wake-up call. We pray that we'll take heed to it even this day, to walk in the light, to know Jesus as our light and as our salvation. We do pray for those unsaved today and they're in deadness. Lord God, we pray that the light of Christ may wake them up. And God, we pray that you will give them life, eternal life. Lord God, help us all to walk in wisdom. Lord God, help us to take heed to your word even this week. Lord God, help us to know when to switch things off. Lord, help us to know when to get out of a room and out of a situation. Lord God, help us to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. And we pray this for the glory of Christ in his name. Amen.